Welcome to the podcast of Living Hope Church. I am your host, Pastor Dr. Kemi Atanda Ilori. I really want to thank God for you that you find your way to our website and also to our podcast section. I pray and believe that in the mercy of God, this particular podcast will be of benefit to you in your relationship with God and in your personal life as you seek to demonstrate the purpose of God in your life. Let us pray. Father, we thank you and bless you for your grace and your goodness. We thank you for the amazing love of God towards us in Christ Jesus. Thank you that in Living Hope Church, you have blessed us extraordinarily. And even now, as we begin to share your word on this podcast, let your Holy Spirit breathe upon us and let our life be transformed by your word. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today's podcast is titled Pathways to Prosperity. It is the third installment in the series of teachings that the Lord in His mercy has committed to me on the topic of prosperity. So this third installment is Pathways to Prosperity. Let's start somewhere in the book of Psalms again. Psalms 113, verses 7 to 8. God raises the poor out of the dust. He lifts the needy out of the ash heap, that he may sit him with princes, with the princes of his people. In two previous podcasts, I shared with you on a mindset for prosperity in which I share with you that you should set your mind on prosperity. I also shared with you on a mindset of poverty in which I encourage you to try and recognize the characteristics of a poverty mentality and to reject those characteristics in your life. And today, by the grace of God, I want to share with you on pathways to prosperity. Let me make two or three things clear for us. Firstly, that God in His mercy desires all of us to prosper. We see that in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, when God created men and women, He blessed them. He said, "Go and be fruitful and multiply." Even when God, in His wisdom, had destroyed the whole world through the flood, the universal flood that happened in the time of Noah, God chose Noah. He gave him the task of building an ark. And God saved Noah and everything that God, in His wisdom, chose to save from the flood. And Noah built an altar to thank God for saving him. Life began again, and God blessed Noah and said, "Noah and your descendants, be fruitful and multiply." Poverty is not something that God wills. It's not something that God desires for any of us. You can see from those two instances in Genesis. And then, of course, when you look at the life of a person like Abraham, God called him out of his culture, his ethnicity, his country, and all that stuff. And God blessed him. When you look at the story of the children of Israel, God called them out of bondage, out of slavery in Egypt. And God promised them a good and large land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And throughout scripture, there was this constant reference that God will provide each Jewish person their own vine, their own vineyard, and their own fig tree. Clearly, God wants his people to prosper as well. So when you look at the generality of life, God wants human beings to prosper. And when you look at those who, through the grace of God, God called into a special relationship with himself, God wants them to prosper as well. As Christians, we have a covenant with God through Christ Jesus. Most people will say when you are born again, you are saved, which is very true. But most people will not define salvation beyond the concept of you are saved from sin and from Satan, and you must make every effort through your own works of righteousness to ensure that you don't lose your salvation. That is the traditional message that a lot of people get. But when you read the scripture, salvation is more than that. Yes, through the Lord Jesus Christ, God saves us from sin, and God saves us from Satan. But more than that, God saves us to serve him. And when we serve God, he will bless our bread and our water. Salvation is not just accompanied by speaking in tongues or by prophesying. Salvation is not just accompanied by the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Salvation is not just accompanied by the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Salvation is also accompanied by material prosperity. Salvation transforms your life. God takes you from poverty to prosperity. So it's not just spiritual salvation. It's also material transformation. So when we are talking about salvation in Living Hope Church, we are talking about a comprehensive package of salvation, what some people will refer to as a holistic salvation, salvation of everything concerning the person. Amen. That is the true meaning of salvation. Now, it's possible for some people to begin to tell you that poverty is an aspect that God wants for you. You have to reject that and say that is unbiblical. It's possible for some people to say that though you are born again, though you are saved from sin and from Satan, that Satan still has this powerful impact upon your life, and that he seeks to destroy you and to keep you poor, and therefore you must struggle against Satan. Well, in Living Hope Church, we just know that by the grace of God, our salvation is total. God has delivered us from the kingdom of darkness. He has brought us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, the kingdom of light. Satan actually has no impact upon us again. By the grace of God, in the goodness of God. So we know directly by our experience and by what we read in scripture that God has delivered us totally from Satan. Yes, God may choose in his wisdom to test us via Satan, but that's very rare. That's exceptionally rare. And when that happens, we will know. And we can always go to God, and he will always save us. So, when we are talking about pathways to prosperity, I'm talking to people who actually know what it means to be saved. That salvation means salvation from sin and Satan, and that we begin to serve God, and God will bless our bread and our water. God will transform our life materially, not only spiritually, but materially. So you can genuinely say, prosperity always accompanies salvation. Some people will emphasize the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is not a bad thing to do, but they need to complete the picture by saying, prosperity always accompanies salvation. Prosperity always accompanies salvation, not poverty, but prosperity, a transformation of your life. Now, that means we need to have a prosperity mentality. So you can go and listen to that podcast again. A prosperity mindset. Today, I want to just move on and talk about how the prosperity mindset will furnish us with pathways to prosperity. Okay, so the prosperity mindset, it's a consciousness that God is set to prosper us. And the pathways are practical values, practical steps that we can take that will actually lead to prosperity in our life. Amen. Let me then quickly talk about godly prosperity and worldly prosperity. If I have 2 houses, by the grace of God, and somebody who is not a Christian, who doesn't pray, who doesn't believe in God, also has 2 houses, if I have £1,000 in my savings, and somebody who is not a Christian, who doesn't acknowledge God, also has £1,000, both of us, we are prosperous in a way, by the grace of God. The markers and characteristics of prosperity are the same, whether for an unbeliever or for a believer. So I need to really, really emphasize that. When a person is successful in life, the characteristics of success for an unbeliever are the same characteristics of success for a believer. You will know a successful person by the characteristics of success that attach to them. And it doesn't matter whether they are unbelievers, whether they don't believe in God, whether they don't go to church, whether they don't pray. It doesn't matter. But there is an important difference. There is godly prosperity and there is worldly prosperity. The significant difference is what the Bible speaks about in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and God adds no sorrow with it. That's the difference. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and God adds no sorrow with it. So when God in His mercy has allowed you to take the pathways of prosperity, then there will be no sorrow with it for you. But those who have worldly prosperity, often it is not attended with peace. It is not attended with contentment. It is not attended with the kind of settled mind and security that God gives. So that's the difference. So I may have 10 houses. If they come through the pathways of prosperity that I'm going to be sharing with us tonight, the Bible says he keeps in peace those whose heart is stayed upon him. So my own type of prosperity will be godly prosperity. It will be that God in His mercy has made me rich, and there will be no sorrow with it. There will be peace. There will be contentment. There will be security. There will be safety. There'll be an enjoyment of the riches in a way in which it satisfies God, because I will be a vehicle of blessing to as many people as possible, because that is the will of God for our life as well. Okay? So again, I've tried as much as possible to quickly tell us the difference between worldly prosperity and godly prosperity. When a person finds wealth through the blessing of the Lord, they don't commit suicide. No, they don't. They don't get to a place where the money destroys them. They don't get to a place where they begin to worship mammon. They never come to that place. Rather, they spend their whole life focused upon God. And that is the importance of worldly prosperity compared to godly prosperity. Okay, we thank God for that. Let's move on quickly to pathways to prosperity. Across the world, many nations, many governments are trying to tackle poverty. Poverty is a serious subject that affects millions and millions of people, particularly in sub-Saharan Africa. I won't go into the politics or the economy of poverty in places like Africa and parts of Asia and parts of Europe and South America. I won't go into all the variety of reasons that the United Nations and the World Bank, they give in terms of poor governance, greed, corporate greed, you know, corruption, high level of corruption in those countries, lack of accountability, and so on and so forth. Let's just talk about pathways to prosperity as we find in the scripture. Because across the world now, many governments that are seriously minded about tackling poverty amongst their citizens, they are defining pathways to prosperity for their citizens. There are many universities now that are running programs on pathways to prosperity, not just for individuals, but for nations. So I won't go into all those academic but relevant literature in relation to pathways to prosperity. If you want to know more about that, just try and Google Oxford University. There is a commission on pathways to prosperity. Okay? And there are graduate programs in various places in relation to pathways to prosperity. Today on this podcast, I want to focus on what we see in Scripture as pathways to prosperity. Let's go. In order to move us from poverty to prosperity, we've got some people who became prosperous because God blessed them. Okay? It was godly prosperity. I will start with Abraham. In Genesis chapter 13, verses 1 to 4, we saw that Abraham had become rich in gold, in silver, in livestock. He was very, very rich. In Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 1 to 4, we read that those who live by faith, they will prosper, but they need a vision and they need to write it down and they need to make sure that they follow that vision consistently. In Daniel chapter 11, verse 32b, we read that those who know their God, they will do great exploits. They will be successful. So in the example of Abraham, the first one that we are going to talk about is, you need a God-given long-term vision for your life. It's important for you to have a long-term vision for your life. Where do you want to be? You need something that covers you from now till the time that you die. A vision for your life. You need to have a vision. It's best if you write it down. But if you don't write it down, make a very deliberate, conscious note of it, mental note. When you have a long-term vision, that long-term vision will be the framework for your existence. It's important to have a long-term vision. In this respect, we can say that Abraham was a visionary. Abraham was a visionary. And one of the things that we see with him every time is God coming back to him and saying, lift up your head, lift up your eyes, look to the north, to the south, to the east, to the west. All the land that you see, I give it to you and to your descendants. Abraham had a vision of what his life would entail. Now, somebody might say, I would also like to have a dream. I would like God to call me out and say, you are going to be a doctor. You are going to be an astronaut. You are going to be a lawyer, an accountant, a dramatist, a teacher, a nurse, a politician, and so on and so forth. We know that God can do that for each one of us. But more than that, God has given you the choice to think of what kind of life do you want. You look into the potentials that God has given you. Within you, you will find skills. You will find interest points. You will find things that you find are, you know, compelling you to do one profession, one vocation, something that is of interest to you that you can pursue and excel in. That can be your own long-term vision. You need to find something in you that you can genuinely say, looking into my life, I discovered that my passion in life is to achieve X, Y, Z. Once you can say that my passion in life, then you've got something that you can actually make into a vision for your life. And then you can travel with God, and God in His mercy will guide you. God will lead you. You know, God will open doors. God will concretize issues for you. God will clarify issues for you. But you need a vision for your life. You need a vision. You need a particular vision for your life. And may God grant you faith to believe God for exceptional favors, to take you from poverty to prosperity, to lead you all the way to heights of achievement that you will look back and you will say, but for God, I would not have got there. I had a vision for my life, and God in His mercy has made it possible. Let's go quickly. So the first thing is be a visionary. Have a long-term vision for your life. We are talking about pathways from poverty to prosperity. And we are looking at the modules that we find in the Bible. Second module, very quickly, Isaac. Isaac. In the life of Isaac, particularly in chapter 26 of Genesis, we find that there will be challenges and setbacks, but you must be a problem solver for whom faith and hope are constant companions. Isaac was a problem solver. You want to move from poverty to prosperity. Remember, every time you overcome a challenge, every time you emerge from adversity, you emerge into prosperity. You see, setbacks are not meant to destroy you. Failure is actually not the last thing about your life. Failure simply means a stepping stone to where you are going. So don't be too distraught. Don't be too discouraged when things don't work out the way you are thinking. Firstly, you need a long-term vision. Then you realize that even though when you have setbacks, you shouldn't quit. You should just find ways of solving the problems arising from pursuing your vision. You need to be a problem solver. Every time you solve a problem, you make some distinctive progress. Every time that a challenge arises in your way and you overcome it, you are making progress in life. In fact, your success is built upon the many challenges that you overcame. I really want you to know that with God on your side, with God in your life, obstacles are meant to become opportunities for God to work out miracles for your prosperity. So don't be destroyed by obstacles. I'm not praying that you should have obstacles, but guess what? You need to know that obstacles will definitely be in your path because they are stepping stones to where you are going. Their miracles are awaiting God's touch, God's encounter in your life. Amen. So we know that Isaac was a problem solver. You see that in Genesis chapter 26, 1 to 5, in Genesis chapter 26, 12 to 16, and in the remainder of that chapter, you find Isaac. Every time there was a challenge, he confronted it. Until there came a time when he said, "This is Rehoboth. God has made room for me." And God prospered him, and he continued to prosper until he became prosperous. And even the Philistines, the arch enemies and rivals of his father and of his generation, even the Philistines began to envy him. And they came to a contract with him, a contract of peace. They had a compact, an agreement to say, "Listen, we can see that you are very prosperous. In fact, you are more prosperous than us, and we want to be at peace with you." You know, you can be in a place in your life where even your enemies will acknowledge that God has blessed you and they must make peace with you. On this podcast, we are looking at pathways to prosperity. Pathways from poverty to prosperity. Very quickly, we move on to the next pathway or model of godly prosperity. Rebecca was a kind, hospitable, and welcoming young woman. She was attractive both because of her beauty and her pleasantness. When you read her story in Genesis chapter 24, you will see that Rebecca was where God wanted her to be, and she was doing what God wanted her to do. Rebecca's daily life was not in any way romantic or extraordinary. You know, sometimes people think, for God to do great things in my life must be extremely romantic, extremely adventurous, extremely extraordinary. No. Most of the time, the people that God will lead from poverty to prosperity are born in a manger, are bred in a manger, you know, but God in His mercy will be working in their life. So I really want you to know that you don't need to be born in a palace. Your life doesn't need to be filled with all the razzmatazz of somebody whose parents are in fame or whose parents are very rich or whose parents are celebrities. Actually, your life can be like the life of Rebecca. Nothing to write home about, but God in His mercy is walking behind the scene. God is walking behind the scene. The outworking of God's goodness and God's plans and purposes of your life, that is what we call providence. God has already gone ahead of you. Before God formed you, He knew you when you were still nothing. But before He formed you, He knew you. No, before you were in your mother's womb, He set you apart. He sanctified you. He set you apart. And before you were born, He ordained you. That means He equipped you with everything that you need to survive and to thrive. That's what we see in the life of Rebecca. Day by day, this young woman was living at home with her parents. She was helpful. She was beautiful, she was kind, you know, she was respectful to her parents. She was a generally good girl. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I really want you to know that if you are doing good, you will be rewarded. And that doesn't mean that some of us We have not had some very, very bad choices in life, and we have had to face the consequences of bad choices. It doesn't mean that God will never ever use us again, or that He doesn't have even better plans for our lives. But in this situation with Rebecca, we know that God is working behind the scene. And if we are where God wants us to be, doing what He wants us to do, guess what? Providence will work for us. The plans and purposes and the intervention of God will come through for us. God wanted a bride for Isaac. Abraham sent his servant and said to his servant, "Go and find a wife for my son from the place where I came from." And guess what? The servant went and found a particular place where Rebecca and his brother were coming out of the city, and the servant of Abraham had a quiet word in his heart that if he would ask this group of young people for water for his camels, and if they would give him water, then he would know that God had prospered his journey to find a wife for Isaac, Abraham's son. And that's what happened. Rebecca came out of the city, and Rebecca was kind, Rebecca was helpful, Rebecca was supportive. Rebecca was just Rebecca. She had always been a good girl, a kind girl, a caring girl, a generous girl. So that's how this servant of Abraham went home to visit Rebecca's parents. And to conclude the story, he narrated why he had come, and he asked Rebecca's parents to please let Rebecca go with him to become the wife of Isaac, who was the heir to Abraham, and that Abraham was a very rich man. So you can see that God's plans and purposes for your life can overtake you when you are doing what you are supposed to be doing and you are where God wants you to be. So it might be that life has put you in a slow lane and you are thinking, "Will God ever do something extraordinary with my life?" You keep trusting in God. If you are where God wants you to be, doing the good things that He wants you to do, God has extraordinary plans for your life. Providence will catch up with you. So you can see that when the breakthrough for Rebecca came, all she needed to do now was to follow providence. She recognized her breakthrough and she trusted God with her future. The man said, "I'm going to be asking Rebecca to follow me so that she could become the wife of my master's son, Isaac." And the parents of Rebecca, they said, "Please wait a long time, wait a bit longer." And he said, "No, please don't hinder me. My master Abraham is waiting for me." So they said, "Well, let's ask the woman herself, the young girl herself." So they called Rebecca. And in Genesis chapter 24, I'm reading from verse 55 to 57. Genesis chapter 24, verses 55 to 57. Her brother and mother said, "Let the young woman stay with us a few days, at least 10 days. After that, she may go." And he said to them, the servant of Abraham said to them, "Do not hinder me, since the Lord has prospered my way. Send me away so that I may go to my master." So they said, "We will call the young woman and ask her personally." Then they called Rebecca and they said to her, "Will you go with this man?" And she said, "I will go." If you truly have a long-term vision for your life, when your breakthrough comes, you will know. Then just follow providence. You can't go wrong, and you will surely prosper. Rebecca was a goal-getter. So that's the conclusion of the story about Rebecca. She was a goal-getter. Goal-getters often succeed in life. If you have a goal, and you are very, very focused on getting your goal, let it be a good goal, let it be a settled goal, be a goal getter. Guess what? Providence will be working behind the scene to bring you your breakthrough. God will move you to prosperity. from one level of prosperity to another level of prosperity. We must move on very quickly. Just two more people, and we will come to the end of this broadcast. We have mentioned Abraham. We have mentioned Isaac. We have mentioned Rebecca. We can mention many, many more people. But let me mention Esther. Esther, you'll find the story of Esther in the book of Esther. The life of Esther shows us that moving from poverty to prosperity includes, on some occasions, God giving you a mentor. The role of a mentor is crucial. If you don't need a mentor, God won't give you one. So you can see with Esther, she was an orphan, and God gave her Mordecai, her uncle, to mentor her. And the lesson we learned from Esther is that you must treasure your mentor. You must treasure your mentor. If you don't need a mentor, God won't give you one. You must respect your mentor. You must follow the advice of your mentor. You must always realize that it is because of your mentor that you are succeeding in life. Never forget that. Never come to a place where you have the attitude of an ungrateful person, an ingrate. You know, there are many ungrateful people. They will say, oh, now that I've made it, I can forget the person that God used, or the people that God used to help me to move from poverty to prosperity. If you look at the life of Esther, you will know that it is crucial for you to continuously appreciate your mentor, to respect them, to listen to them. If they are indeed godly mentors, they will be humble. They will serve God in your life. They won't turn you into their slave. You will never be treated like a slave, like somebody that they would just walk over as if you are a piece of dirty mat. It will never happen. And you too should never treat them with discourtesy and ingratitude. So the story of Esther shows us that you may need a mentor. And if God has given you a mentor, or if in future He brings a mentor into your life, thank God and make sure that you listen to your mentor's advice and respect your mentor. What we see is that God's hand to connect you with success and prosperity on occasions will be a mentor that God will raise up for you. The hand of God to connect you with success and prosperity will be through the helper, godly helper, that God will raise up for you. And then you see in the life of Esther, Esther was a creative thinker. If you look at the life of Esther, she was very, very good in thinking creatively, thinking outside of the box, thinking in such a way that she is an innovator. A lot of people, they just want to do the same thing, the same way for hundreds of years. Esther was a creative thinker. She was thinking, what is the way I can solve this problem differently? She was constantly thinking of new ways of becoming the person that God wants her to become. So if you are going to move from poverty to prosperity, it may be that this model is the one you should adopt. The model of understanding you need a mentor, understanding that you need to be a creative thinker as you grow in your knowledge of what God desires for your life. Let us finish. The final person I'm going to share with us about is Joseph. Joseph. The story of Joseph is very well known. You know, he was a person that his brothers plotted against. They sold him into slavery. And then Potiphar bought him, and Potiphar made him a great person in his own house. And then the wife of Potiphar got Joseph into trouble, and Joseph was sent into the prison, from Potiphar's house into the prison. And when he was in the prison, they They put him in the hardest place of the prison, but God still looked favorably upon Joseph. And then from the prison, God took him into Pharaoh's palace. So you can look at it this way, from prison, from Potiphar to prison, from prison to palace, PPP. What do we learn from Joseph? You must stay true to yourself, no matter what you are going through. Don't let what you are going through turn you into a bad person. Don't lose your moral compass. You know, sometimes they will say to you, if you can't beat them, join them. That is so bad as a principle. You must stay true to your moral compass. We will say, stay true to yourself, stay true to your values, no matter how challenged you are. It's going to pay off. You can see with Joseph that he stayed true to the great values that he had. He did not allow himself to be corrupted. He did not allow himself to be distracted. He did not allow himself to cut corners. He did not allow himself to go into schemes that are fraudulent. He did not allow himself to begin to do things that might, look like, oh, he wants to get out of the prison by all means. He did everything well. He focused upon God, and God did not fail him. So what have we learned from Joseph in terms of pathway to prosperity? Stay true to yourself. Sometimes, technically, we will say, what is your true north? Your true north is your true worth. Joseph was a dogged worker, a dogged manager, and a dogged leader. What do we mean by that? He was very determined to do something with his life in a way that is purposive and good before God, even when it is very difficult. Joseph was very determined, very tenacious. He was positively stubborn in doing what was good, no matter the challenges that could have prevented him from doing what was good. You too, you want to move from poverty to prosperity, you need to be true to yourself, be true to your values, be true to the godly abilities, godly values, godly virtues. Be true to yourself, and God in his mercy will move you from poverty to prosperity. In fact, God will prosper you. God always does. If you are a Joseph, you will find that God will move you from poverty to prosperity. I really want to encourage you. Pay attention to details in your life. It's important for you to know yourself. What are the things that make you happy? What are the things you are best in? What are the things that you love to do? Pay attention to yourself. Pay attention to what makes you tick. What makes you you? You are a unique person. What makes you unique? What's your unique selling point? Find it, and you will move from poverty to prosperity. Have great self-belief. Have great self-belief. Don't be contemptuous of yourself. If you don't believe in yourself, then how are people going to, relate to you? If you are so downcast, if you are always looking down upon yourself, people will look down upon you. So you need to have a great self-belief. Believe in God that you are a great person. Treat yourself like a great person. We are not saying be arrogant. We are not saying you should be suffering from pride and arrogance. That's not what we are saying. But we are saying have some confidence in the potentials that you carry. And then let God actualize your potentials. Discover your potential. What makes you unique? Have confidence that God has built you as a unique person. I know there may be many people who are called Kemi, but my own Kemi is unique. There are no two types of people like me. I am the only person that is called Kemi in this way, with my DNA, with all my experience. So I'm a unique person. I know my potentials, but I just don't know my potentials. I want my potentials to become something. I don't want to be told, oh, he's a man full of potentials, but he didn't achieve. No, I must achieve. So that's what we are saying. Have great self-belief and have an unwavering focus. Refuse to be distracted. Refuse to be distracted. May God really bless you. Today we have talked about pathways to prosperity. We have looked at Abraham. We have looked at Isaac. We have looked at Rebecca. We have looked at Esther. And now we are finishing on Joseph. May God bless you. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for your loving kindness.
Bluetooth mode.
We thank you for the wonderful goodness of God towards us.
Device paired.
We thank you for all the great things of God in our life. May your name be blessed. Everyone that has listened to this podcast, grant them, O God, the wisdom to follow through on what they have learned. And help me next time when we meet again on another podcast. Help me, O God, to bring your word to them, because your word is a lamp and a light to our feet and to our pathways. Thank you, beloved Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May God bless you. As I leave you now, I want us to listen to a song together. Okay? I want us to listen to a song together. It's a beautiful song. Let's listen to it together. Amen. Hallelujah. We thank God for that. The Lord is just so powerful, so gracious. Let me wish you the very best, and I look forward to meeting you and sharing the word of God with you on another interesting topic on some of these podcasts, okay? Please come back to Living Hope Church and check us again on our website. The Lord bless you. I am your host, by the grace of God, Pastor Dr. Kemi Atandai-Lori, the General Overseer of Living Hope Church. Goodbye. God bless you. Bye now.